I just want to thank you for being here this morning. We're going to dive right into the message this morning. Just want to remind you of giving. You have an opportunity to give online, as so many people have done during this season away from church. And I just want to thank all those people. Our online giving was just increased greatly. Reoccurring givers, one-time givers. We're so thankful that God is faithful and he's working through people. Also, if you want to give this morning on your way out, we're trying to keep that even different. So on the way out, there's plates in the back if you want to give the old-fashioned way, okay? How many people are still into giving the old-fashioned way? Actually, the old-fashioned way was, you remember you passed the plate through the aisles and you saw what your neighbor was doing. You're like, what's up, dude? Let's go. Come on. But anyway, so we don't do that anymore. We kind of keep that between people and God, because God, he knows what's going on and he loves a cheerful heart. But it's good to see the people I can see this morning. It's great to see you this morning. And I'm actually waiting for my PowerPoint. We'll get going here. So let's pray and let's believe God. I got a great message this morning. And I'm so glad that you're here. You're here online today. We even have people traveling this morning. They say, hey, we'll be watching as we're going through the West, people traveling West. And they said, we'll watch it if we can catch it on Facebook. So let's have a good time. Is everybody committed to have a good time this morning? Come on, is everybody committed to having a good time this morning? How about this side over here? Let's go. Okay, I'm a very hype guy. Can you tell I'm a hype guy? I love energy. And Lord, I just thank you for your love for us. We just thank you for the cross. Oh Lord, without the cross, we're lost. But we're so thankful, Lord, that the cross is wisdom. Lord, for those who are coming to Christ, and we just thank you for that today. And Lord, I just ask God that you would do what only you can do in this place this morning. And Father, I pray God that you would be with us. And Lord, we just so thankful that you're here with us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. So how's everybody's 4th of July weekend going? You having a good 4th of July? How many people, your neighborhood got a little noisy last night? It was like our neighborhood went to a whole nother level last night. We've lived in this neighborhood now for 19 years, and last night it was like we were in this war zone. It was this like nonstop till after 11, and I was like the Scrooge. I was like, I hate the 4th of July, but no, it's a lot of fun, right? So I had a great, great day yesterday, hanging out with people, enjoying other people's company. So I hope you're having a great 4th of July also. Well, for the past couple weeks, what we've been doing is I've been sharing this thought with you that I want to share one last time with you, and that is the thought right here is that we're not just reopening Journey Church. Now we're in our third week of coming back together in the building, and I want to let you know that it's much more than just reopening a building. If that's what you think, I want to let you know that's small thinking. There's something much bigger in that, and that is that we're building it back up, okay? We're building up Journey Church again, and I want to let you know and give you just a fair warning, and that warning is it's going to be different, but it's also going to be very, very special. So I just want to give that to you right off the bat. It's going to be different, but it's also going to be very, very special, and I'm super, super excited for what God has in store for this place, and God is just showing me some new things, and it's really cool what's happening. So in order to build this church back up and to be successful in what God wants to do, we need to be a group of people that we are absolutely 100% committed to the mission of the church, okay? Because as I've been saying for the last several weeks, the mission of Journey Church will never change. The mission will never change. I want everybody to hear that. The mission will never change. I mean, it's not going to change because Jesus gave us the mission, okay? He told us what the church should be all about, why the church exists. But I want to let you know the strategies will change, especially if they're no longer effective. I read it this way this week. I thought it was really good. This one guy said, let's be married to the mission, not the strategies, okay? Let's be married to the mission, but we're not married to the strategies, okay? Those things are willing to change, but the mission will always stay the same. So what I want to do again for this third week is I want us to revisit our mission. By the way, if you don't know what a mission is simply this thought, this is why we exist. This is why we exist. This is why Journey Church exists. By the way, I hope you have a life mission. I hope you've taken the time to just stop and think, what is my life mission? Why do I exist? But let's talk about Journey Church mission real quick. Week 1, we talked about to believe in Jesus. We want people to believe in Jesus And on that day, we talked about biblical belief, and we said that biblical belief is much more than intellectual agreement. It's much more than we agree with the right doctrine, we agree with the right teaching, the right theology. Those things are super important. Believe me, I think right doctrine, right theology, right teachings are important, but biblical belief doesn't stop there. But biblical belief is when we learn to trust in Jesus with every single area of our lives. And if there's ever a time in history where people need to hear that, it's right now, that we can trust in Jesus with all the uncertainty that's going on in the world, all the confusion, the fear. How many people know we can stand and we can trust Jesus? That's biblical belief, is when we trust in Jesus with all of our life, okay? Then last week we talked about this whole thought that we need to bring people to Jesus, and we talked about all Christians are called to go, and we talked about going to what we call your individual world, that maybe three or four people, your neighbors, your friends, those people you're constantly in contact with, and you're to go with them, and you're to tell them about the love of God. You're to tell them about that they can have God's acceptance only through Jesus Christ, his son. So that was last week. So let's jump into some fresh new material this morning, and that is our mission is this. And actually, I've been so super excited about preaching this message that I'm glad this moment is here. And that is our mission, is we want to see every single person become more like Jesus, more like Jesus. So what we're going to do today, here's my approach to get a better understanding of this, is what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask and answer three questions. Last week was two. We're just going to hype it up just a little higher, and we're going to look at three questions, and hopefully by the end of this message, you'll have a better understanding of what it means to become more like Jesus, okay? So we're going to ask these three questions. Let's take a quick look. The three questions is, why is it important that we become more like Jesus? We're going to talk about that. The second question we'll look at today is, how do we become more like Jesus? And the third question is the question that I'm most excited about, is what? What does this process look like? What's the process of looking more like Jesus? What does it look like? So let's begin with question number one, and that is, why is it important that we become more like Jesus, okay? And I'm just going to start right off the bat, just be brutally honest with you by saying, hey, there's no greater person in the history of the world to be like, for one, okay, like Jesus. But I know that we need to get more biblical than that, so we'll do that. And why is it important that we become more like Jesus is because we have been chosen by God to become more like Jesus. I want to let you know today, if you're a follower of Jesus, if there's a time in your life you said yes to Jesus, I want to let you know, if that's the case, you have been chosen by God to become more like Jesus. So I want you to all digest that right now in your hearts. I've been chosen by God to be more like Jesus. I've been chosen by God to be more like Jesus. And we see that in Paul's words in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Here's the funny thing about these two verses. We all know verse 28, most people anyway, but verse 29 we don't look at often. So let's look at verse 28. Paul says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God." I love that promise. "For we know that God, he doesn't cause everything, but he causes all those things to work together for our good." And I love that, because even in the midst of COVID-19, I don't believe that God caused it, but I really believe with all my heart that God can use that for good, because I just think that's the MO of God. Is God is this God who takes negative and turns it into positive. But gang, here's the story. You got to be open to God. You got to be open to say, "God, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in doubt. But God, I'm opening myself. Where's the good that you want to work in this situation in my life?" And I'm seeing it in certain people's life. They're just rising to the top in this time. And then I love verse 29. Here's our key verse today. It says, "For God knew his people in advance." That's a loaded statement right there for all those people who, we won't even go there. "For God knew his people in advance." And check this out, gang. It says, "And he chose them to become like his son." I mean, to me, it doesn't get any clearer than that, that God knew his people in advance, and God chose those people. He chose those people to be like his son. So why are we to become more like Jesus? The answer is simple. It certainly isn't easy, but it's simple, and that is because God has chosen us, every believer, God has chosen them to become more and more and more like Jesus. Has everybody got that this morning? If you do, say, I got it. Or you got that. Like, so here's the deal. You became a Christian. When did you first say yes to Jesus? You determined that date, that time in your life. But from that point on, you're in this process of becoming more and more like Jesus. So here's what it should look like. I should look like Jesus more today than I did last Sunday. How do I look? Did it happen? Well, only those closest to me can determine that, okay? But really, that's what it should look like. I should look like Jesus more than I did a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. I should look like Jesus, behave like Jesus more than I did back in 19. Let's just set a date for me. It was like 1977 I came to Christ. I said yes to Jesus. Mike should look a lot more like Jesus through that process of 30, 40 years than he did when he started the journey. And I want us to all get that, because here's what happens as we get into this routine, we get into this rut. And the rut is we just stay the same. Yes, is our soul saved? That's called justification. Yes, our soul is saved, but there's another word. It's called sanctification, where we're supposed to become more and more and more like Jesus. See, it's not a call to be a better version of yourself. I want to let you know the world doesn't need a better version of Mike Bechtold. What the world needs is a Mike Bechtold that is more in love with Jesus. Amen? One who's becoming more and more like Jesus. And by the way, for that person just said amen, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So here we go. So that's why we need to become more like Jesus, is because we're chosen by God. We're chosen. God chose us to be more like him, which leads to question number two, and that is, how do we become more like Jesus? Okay, I'm a little more convinced when I came in than when I came in today that I'm to be like more like Jesus. But Mike, tell me, give me the how. How does this happen? And that is this. It's one simple word. And if you can all say that word together today, that would bring great comfort. Everybody say it together: discipleship. So let me just ask you, have you ever heard of that word before? Discipleship. Discipleship. I'm trusting that a lot of people have heard that word, discipleship. And I want to say this about discipleship. This whole idea of discipleship was introduced by Jesus. Not by church, not by denomination. This whole idea of discipleship was introduced by Jesus Christ to his followers in what we could call a farewell address. You know the story. Jesus rose from the dead. But it wasn't for 40 days before he ascended back to the Father where he is right now. So there's this 40-day gap where Jesus kind of came back to earth. And he visited with his disciples. But before he ascended, he gathered the disciples around and he gave us these verses that we call today. They're called the what? They're called the Great Commission. So I want to look at those verses real quick. It says this. It says, then Jesus came to them and he said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then look at verse 20 or 19. So Jesus says, therefore, go. Everybody say that word together. Go. And he says, here's what I want you to do when you go. He says, go and make disciples. I find that very interesting in today's culture. He doesn't say, go and gather large crowds. But Jesus makes it very clear. He says, now I want you to go. And when you go out, I want you to go and make disciples. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Quick commercial real quick. Water baptism is available to you on Sunday, August the 9th. So if you want to be, if you've never taken that step of obedience, come and see me. We'd love to baptize you in water on August the 9th. So but back to the verse, we're called to be disciples. Every one of us is called to be disciples. So let's take a look at that word. What does it mean to be a disciple? Well, the Greek word there, just to kind of wow you there, is the word methetes, okay? And what does that word mean? It means, first of all, it means a student. We're a student. It means, number two, that we are a follower of a certain teacher. And thirdly, it means that we are to be an imitator. So as a disciple of Jesus, we're to be all three of those things. We're to be a student of Jesus, we're to be a follower of our teacher who is Jesus, and we are to be an imitator of Jesus. You and I should be imitating Jesus wherever we're going, not only here on Sunday morning. We're to imitate Jesus in our workplace, in our home, hanging out with our friends. We're called to be a disciple. So a disciple is basically someone who follows another person's teaching, okay? And I want to let you know, back in Greek culture, I want to let you know there were all these philosophers, and these philosophers would do what? They would surround themselves with their students. Those students would be their disciples. So there's a lot of philosophers, and here is the MO. The philosophers would receive, we could almost say they would receive applications. They would receive resumes of people who wanted to be their follower, okay, or wanted them to be their teacher. And so what that teacher would do is he would look through all the resumes, and generally what he would do is he would pick the cream of the crop. He would pick the cream of the crop. See, that's what I love about Jesus, you guys, is Jesus doesn't collect resumes and wait for us. He comes to us. And I want to let you know, he doesn't only come to the blue bloods of society. He comes to every single person is invited to be a disciple. Isn't that great? I find great assurance in that, because I don't think of myself highly enough that Jesus would say, Mike, I would choose you. You're one of the best. But I'm so thankful that he comes looking for each and every one of us, searching us out to say, hey, I will be your teacher. Will you follow me? So as a disciple of Jesus, what you and I are to do is we're simply to follow his example. We are to follow his teachings. We are to imitate him. So what that means to me is I'm supposed to love like Jesus. Yeah, I'm supposed to love like Jesus. Jesus, you mean I'm supposed to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me? And he's saying, yes, that's what I did. Be my disciples. And you're saying, Jesus, am I supposed to serve like you served, that you became down from heaven to earth to serve? Am I supposed to be like that? And Jesus is saying, you got it. That's what discipleship looks like. You're supposed to follow my example. I loved, I served, I want you to love, I want you to serve. And that's why I love what Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:21. He says, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. See, after coming to Christ, there's a lot of people who come up to me and say, Mike, I just don't understand my purpose. I don't have any meaning in life. What am I supposed to do? Well, I want to just start with that one verse right there. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. You want to talk about purpose in life, amen? You want to talk about meaning in life. You just begin to do what God's called you, chosen you to do. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And I tell you what, your life is not going to be boring. It's not going to be status quo. It's going to be filled with excitement when we begin to live and follow Jesus. That's discipleship. But gang, here's the problem, and I want you to listen carefully to the problem. And that is, in today's culture, we have this misconception. And I want everybody to listen super carefully, because this is super important. We have this misconception that's come along somewhere along the line, and we have this misconception that I can be a Christian, but I'm not sure about this disciple thing. And that has invaded the church at large. Yes, Jesus, I'm all about dying and going to heaven. That sounds like a great deal. Sign me up. Who doesn't want that? I do. But hey, how many people know it's not this pick or choose, yes, Christian, no disciple. How many people know they come together? See, disciples not just for these super Christians. And I think there's people in the church that sit in churches all around the world today that, hey, yes, I can be a Christian, but that discipleship, that's for super Christians. It's not for the ordinary believer. And I want to say, you're wrong. You've been deceived somewhere along the line. And because we need to understand that the very word Christian was introduced in the New Testament to apply to who? The word Christian was meant, it was applied to the disciples, Or let me say it this way, the name Christian was given to those who were already disciple. See, the two terms are interchangeable. They're interchangeable. These two terms, disciple and Christian, mean the same thing as I would refer to Heather. Heather is both my what? She's my wife, and she's my spouse. Those words are interchangeable. The same thing about Christian and discipleship. We don't get to choose. They're the same thing. And I want you to hear that. If you don't hear anything else this morning, they're the same thing. Every Christian is called to be a disciple. Actually, you might be surprised, but the name Christian is used only three times. If you look through the New Testament, the name Christian is only used three times. So what I'm saying here is we cannot be a Christian without being a disciple. We don't get to choose that. It just all comes together. So I want you to hear this. A disciple is someone who follows the example of Jesus and walks in the steps of Jesus. And this process of discipleship begins when we respond to Jesus' command to follow him. It begins when we say yes to Jesus for the first time. Now you're born into this process of becoming a disciple. And that's exactly what we see in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 28. Let me read it. It says, later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi who was sitting at the tax collector's booth. And he said to Levi, follow me. And look at what he said here, gang. He said, follow me and be my, somebody say the word out loud. Be my disciple. He doesn't say, hey, be a Christian. He doesn't say, be a believer. He says, Levi, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up and I want you to be my disciple. And Jesus said to him, so Levi, check out what Levi did. He got up and he left everything and he followed Jesus. So I want to say this one last time. This beautiful journey to become like Jesus begins with a yes. My yes was in 1977. I said yes to following Jesus. But I want to let you know this journey of discipleship is continuous. It continues till the day that we see Jesus face to face. Gang, we are called to be disciples. And I want you to hear that today. You are called to be a disciple. That's God's choice. God has chosen you for that, to become more like Jesus. So let's look at question number three, and that is this. What does this process look like? What does the process look like? Well, how many people have ever dealt with real estate before? When you deal with real estate, the value of real estate is basically what? The mantra of real estate is these three words. Everybody say it together. Location, location, location. Meaning you can have a beautiful mansion in a poor rural area, and it can be purchased for just a fraction of the cost of a home with that same home with an ocean view. So the mantra of real estate is, we understand it's all about the location. It's all about the location. Here's what I want to say. Here's the mantra of discipleship. Is everybody ready? Say, give it to me. Is everybody ready? Here's the mantra. Everybody together, let's say these three words. Please join me. The mantra of discipleship is relationship, relationship, relationship. I want everybody to hear that loud and clear. That's what discipleship is all about. It's about relationship. So discipleship is relationship-centered, okay? It's relationship-centered. It's not about a program. See, a lot of churches have gotten into this mode, and I've been guilty of this. Let's have a discipleship program. And I know what they're getting at, but we have this program, you do all these things, and then at the end of the program, boom, you're a disciple. You're fully 100% like Jesus. And I get where they're trying to get, and I've been involved with that. But when it comes to discipleship, it's not about a program, gang. It's about you being in a relationship. It's a relationship, an intentional relationship between two or more believers who are investing in each other. And they're investing because they want to grow in their love for Jesus. They want to grow in their maturity with Jesus. It's about being close. It's about being vulnerable. It's about being with other people. And in this relationship, there's some three key ingredients. And here's the first one. This is what it looks like. As you're in these relationships, this is what's happening. You're studying in Scripture together. You're studying the Bible together. And I'm all into people who get together and study books. I think there's goodness to that. But I think true discipleship is when we begin to open up the Scriptures and we study the application. What does that look like in my everyday life? What does it look like for me to love as Jesus loved. When I'm at home and Heather and I are having a friction moment, what does it look like for me to serve like Jesus when, to be honest, I don't want to serve my spouse, but Jesus is saying, hey, my call to you is to be more like me. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, and I begin to serve. See, that's what it's all about. You get together and you study the scripture and you study how you can apply it to your everyday life. That's discipleship. A second thing I think that happens in discipleship is this. It's a weekly time. I think you need to set a time where you weekly have this transparent interaction with other people. You sit down and you talk together and you share things about life together. For example, right now I'm in a discipleship relationship with another guy. And our discipleship is we meet once a week. And right now what we're doing is we're going through the Gospel of Mark together with the help of Francis Chan. We're watching videos. We're reading scripture together. But a big part of that is also that we're being transparent with each other. And we answer the question, how's your week been? How's your relationships with your family going? How are things going at work? You're being transparent. You're kind of letting the guard down. You're letting somebody in your life. You're sharing things that you may not share in a large group, but there's got to be one person or two people. And I'm a big proponent of what one guy calls microgroups. And microgroups are groups of maybe three or four people at the largest. At the largest, three or four people getting together, studying scripture together, being transparent with others. But I think there's one other big key ingredient if you're serious about discipleship and relationship, and that key ingredient is it's going to take time. It's going to take time. And I think that's one of the biggest tools of the enemy is to keep us super, super busy. And there's people all over say, I don't have time for that. And that's a tragic statement that I don't have time to invest in being more like, think about what you're saying. I don't have time to invest in being more like Jesus. If you don't have time for that, I say we need to clear the calendar and we need to create a little margin in life for the things that are super duper important, that are eternal. It takes time. And I think one of the greatest examples of this I know is Heather. Heather right now is exercising this with two other people in her life, this whole discipleship. They're doing these three things. And every Friday morning through this summer, is Heather meets with this one gal at 10 o'clock right here at the church. And there's days where I'm like, it's afternoon and they're still in there. What are they doing? Because I'm a guy. I said, me and my guy, we meet for 1 hour. And it's like, we're exhausted at the end, okay? But Heather, she gets with this other girl, and they're meeting for over 2 hours on a Friday morning. Then the same thing happens on Saturday morning with another person. And there's times, I'm not lying, gang, that they're meeting for over 3 hours. And I'm thinking, what do you guys talk about for 3 hours? I'm exhausted even thinking about it. But man, it's going to take time. It's going to say, hey, I'm going to have to say no to something so I can say yes to something greater, something more eternal. I'm going to have to be able to say yes. So that's what discipleship is all about. It's about this relationship. You're studying the scripture. You're applying it. You're being transparent with another believer. You're taking time. So let me close this morning with three questions. Question number one is simply this, and please be gut honest with yourself. Nobody can read your mind, but be honest with yourself. And I want you to answer these three questions, if you would. And question number one is this, are you convinced that God has chosen you to become more like Jesus? Are you convinced of that? You might be here today and say, no, I'm still not convinced. Well, let's spend some more time one-on-one and I'll try to do a better job convincing you. But Jesus, it says there in Romans 8:29, God has called us to become more like Jesus. So are you convinced that God has chosen you, to be more like Jesus? Because here's the deal, you may be the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And this world needs more of us to go out into the world, leave churches, leave buildings, leave services, and go out and live like Jesus, because we may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. They're not going to come to church. They've written off church. It's not for them. But could you be Jesus going to where they live? Are you convinced that you're chosen to be like Jesus? Question number two is simply this. The second question is, are you convinced that discipleship is for all Christians, not just super Christians? Are you convinced that this is something that God's calling you to? Are you convinced of that? That this is something that God wants me to take serious? And then my third and final question is my favorite question is this. Are you currently in a relationship? And I just feel like I need to say this. I think it's very healthy that if you're a guy, you stay with a guy. And if you're a girl, you stay with a girl. Pastor Mike does not disciple other, he doesn't disciple women. I disciple guys. It's just healthy. But are you currently in a relationship that is focused on spiritual growth and becoming more like Christ? Are you currently, right now, is there somebody in your life you can say for sure, yes, Travis, yes. Give the name of the person. Yes, I know, that's my person. So are you currently in that relationship? And here's my follow-up question. If not, why? If not, why? If not, why won't you take the time to make this investment that's eternal, that's going to change the world, that's going to change your life? That's going to rearrange your life, and it's going to increase the quality of your life. If not, why? And if that's you who says, you know, right now I'm not, and I don't want to throw guilt out because I want to let you know, I'll be very transparent. For years and years and years and years, I wasn't. I was never brought up in a church where I heard a message like this. My churches were always worried about, let's get more people in, let's fill the seats, let's get more money in, let's do this, this. And I'm just saying, I believe through going through my health problem of late last year, that I'm like, okay, God, I'm all in. What do you want me to really be doing? And God is speaking to me, and he's saying, Mike, this is what I really want you to be doing. It's what I told you 2,000 years ago. And that is, hey, you're called to make disciples. And when our church closed for 12 weeks, I'll close with this story. When our church closed for 12 or 13 weeks, there were some amazing good things that happened. But there was also one thing that stuck out in my mind that says, if we ever had to close again, and I don't know what the future holds, but if we would ever have to close again, there's certainly one thing that must change. And that one thing that must change is there's got to be people who are in these discipleship relationships where you're involved with a micro group. It could be one person, two, three people. I wouldn't go more than that. And I'm just saying we got to be in groups, guys, because the question that I wrote out at sitting at my desk one day as I was sitting there, the question was, what do you do when the church doors close? Who do you go to for prayer? Who do you go to for encouragement? Who do you go to for support? Because what I saw in our closing is I saw that there was this group of people that they actually flourished. They grew. They were staying in communion. They were staying vibrant with other believers in relationship. But there was this other group of people in our church that I was like, God, I've missed it. They don't know what to do unless we have church in a building. And folks, that can't be the case, because what if there's never church in a building again? Are you hearing me this morning? What if there's never church in a building again? Are you still going to be able to grow and become more like Jesus because you said yes to another person coming into your life and you're studying the Bible, you're getting transparent, you're spending time together in relationship? So I said, Lord, at least let us have 3 more weeks before we have to close again. And I don't think it's going to happen. But anyway, guys, hear my heart. What would a successful rebuilding of Journey Church look like? A successful rebuilding of Journey Church would be people being in relationship with other believers with the intention of becoming more like Jesus. And then I would be marked as a successful pastor. I would say, Mike, you did what you were called to do. So I want to challenge you as we leave this morning, would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? And I don't care if you say, well, am I too young for that? No, you're not too young for that. You can do this with other teenagers. You say, I'm too old for that. No, you're far too old. You're still here on planet Earth. God has great purpose for your life. And I just want to encourage us, let's get intentional about what Jesus was intentional about. And that is, let's make disciples. And if you're a disciple already, you have a responsibility now to reproduce yourself in someone else. And that's how we are today, 2,000 years away from the cross, from Jesus giving us this command. That's why the church has grown, is because people took serious of making disciples. So can we pray this morning? So let's just do this. Let's just bow our heads. Hey, let's just stand to our feet. We're ready to head to the house. But I just pray, God, just do something in our hearts. Maybe your prayer this week is, God, I can't even think of, there's nobody in my life that I can even think about connecting with in this kind of relationship that Mike's talking about. I want to guarantee you, if you pray about it, God will begin to put somebody in your life and you'll be amazed. So, Father, we thank you for our time together in the Word this morning. Lord, I just thank you for giving us such clarity of what the church is supposed to be about, making disciples, becoming more like Jesus, becoming students, learners, followers of you. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help this church to be a church that is marked by making disciples. We are disciples, and we are making disciples. We are disciples, and we're reproducing in other people. So Lord, help us. Help us to be serious about what you've called us to do. Lord, I love Sunday morning service. I love the energy of getting together with other believers. It's one of my top five. But Lord, what I want to be in love with most is, are we doing what Jesus said to do, make disciples? So Lord, help us individually. Help us corporately. God, I just pray, God, that you would just do an amazing work in this church in the days that lead, or the days ahead. God, regardless of the doors stay open or regardless if the doors have to close again, may we be about making disciples. So help us, I pray. Folks, I just want to let you know this has been heavy on my heart. I pray that my heart is transferring to your heart this morning. And I don't care if you just gave your life to Jesus yesterday. Let's begin the process today. And I love to close each week by us praying together. So can we pray this prayer the Lord Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Your kingdom come, your will, God's will, is for us to all become more like Jesus. God bless you. Have an amazing 5th of July, and stay cool. Thanks for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you. Okay.